I'm Peter Solomon. You're listening to Jazz 88. Women's History Month got me thinking about some of the marvelous female artists that work around the Twin Cities that I've gotten to know in the short time that I've lived here. Jennifer Grimm came to my attention because she was featured in one of our Jazzclectic concerts that Jazz 88 put on last year. I reached out to her and invited her to join me in the studio, which she has done, and she brought her husband Joe Cruz to play guitar with her. I'll be talking with Jennifer Grimm in just a few minutes, but first let's hear her do one of her original songs. This is called Half a Man. Jennifer Grimm with guitarist Joe Cruz on Listener Driven Jazz 88.
For a moment I didn't realize exactly who you were. I admired her hair, her posture in her chair. I could not have guessed just what happened next. I saw you touch her face. I fell out of time and felt out of place. I saw you hold her hand. It was clear when you spoke in her ear that you were hold her hand. I choose to ignore and keep half.
That was a performance by Jennifer Grimm and her husband Joe Cruz on guitar, who I am thrilled to have with me at the Jazz 88 Studios. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Peter. We're so happy to be here.
Can you tell us what we just heard?
That is a song called Half a Man. Not a true story, by the way, but inspired by other events. Yeah, it's a new song. Relatively new. It hasn't been released yet as a single or on. It's going to be on the next album. So yeah, it's an original about, you know, a woman who sees her guy out somewhere else, and she has to make that decision: is she going to bring it up and leave? And this particular character that I'm singing about decides, you know what, I think I'd rather keep half of a man than have no man at all, which is a tragic story. And I say, come on, lady. Figure it out. There's other fish in the sea. Get dumped the loser. But the song's about her in that moment.
The sound of the song and the kind of tragic subject matter bring to mind Bolero. Is that kind of what you were going for?
Right. And so, you know, Joe Cruz is my husband, and he has this incredible guitar style that is, you know, informed by his Latin heritage. And he's always been, has this flamenco passionate sort of vibe that he always brings to. It informs all of his playing, no matter what genre he's in. And so it's a very cool marriage of styles, because he can always, even if it's not the full band, just the two of us, like you just heard, it captures all of that passion and turmoil and smoky bar feel that comes with that style.
So I want to turn to your own background. One of the reasons I invited you to the studio, this is Women's History Month, and so we like to shine some attention on some of the female artists working in the area, and you're very active, and the styles that you cover are expansive, and I assume that has to do with the background. I read that you grew up in a family that toured the country kind of doing a variety show. Can you talk about what this background was that informs your music?
When I was born, it was after a show. My mom and dad had a show band on the road for 20 years, and so I was born after a show while they were on tour, and happened to be born in Minnesota, which is cool. I'm glad to be part of the Minnesota history. There are four children, and so we were just part of the show. I started, I think, when I was about 2 and a half. They worked me into the act, and grew up completely on tour until my teen years, where we got off the road, and I again landed here in the Twin Cities. But yeah, it was a variety show, so there were all the genres. They sort of advertised themselves as Broadway to bluegrass, and it was in the, you know, 70s and 80s era of casinos, lounges, theme parks, resorts, music. There was live music at a club maybe six nights a week, and the same act would stay in those places for 2 to 3 weeks. So it was an actual setup where a family could travel and perform, because you would sit in one resort for 3 weeks and then move on down to the next state or the next resort. So my entire upbringing was, yeah, rehearsals, performances, hotels, game rooms, pools, HBO, and that is what is wrong with me.
Do you kind of consider yourself first and foremost a jazz singer, or do you kind of confine yourself if you had to describe your style to someone?
It's a good question. I'm not sure that I have a really good answer. I mean, because I was brought up in that very varied genre upbringing, I can fit into most genres pretty easily and happily. So if I find myself in a musical theater situation, which I did, you know, I've done some musical theater in town, most recently at the History Theater doing I Am Betty, a new musical about Betty Crocker, which was this past holiday season. I'm very comfortable in the musical theater genre. Judy Garland, even though that is sort of, you know, jazz and pop of decades past, musical theater, I'm very comfortable there. And I do love the acting portion and how you can really express and go far, you know, as far as with characters. But my happy place, like if I could just sing what I want to, it really does kind of land in jazz, R&B, kind of reggae, and musical theater-ish, a little bit. Like even that song that we just did, Half a Man, has a theatrical quality to it, telling a story. But I'm also really comfortable hanging out in the classic country world, too. I really enjoy singing stuff in the style of, you know, Patsy Cline and that sort of classic country. So it's not an easy question to answer. My favorite type of music to perform is really matched up with what audience I'm in front of and what I can do to serve the magic of the moment of the performance.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. Now, we didn't talk about this, but you've mentioned musical theater, and of course, musical theater is the source of so much repertoire for, you know, for what we play on the air here, the Great American Songbook, Great American Popular Songbook, Irving Berlin, Rodgers and Hart, Cole Porter, and the rest of them. Can you do one of your favorite standards? Do you mind? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Absolutely, sure. What about Love Is Here to Stay? I think that's from a movie, too. Let's do Love Is Here to Stay. It's very clear our love is here to stay. Not for a year, but ever and a day. The radio and the telephone and the movies that we know, they're all just passing fancies that in time may go. Together we're going a long, long way. In time, the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble. They're only made of clay, but our love is here. Well, love, our love is here. Our love is here to stay.
That was beautiful. And I looked it up. Love Is Here to Stay apparently goes back to 1938. It was used in a film called The Goldwyn Follies. Of course, Gershwin passed away that year, wrote so much beautiful music with his brother Ira.
Yes.
Now, I've listened to some of your work, and it seems like you have the capacity to create music that sounds like it could be of that same vintage.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about your approach for creating a song.
Well, you know, most of my songs are lyrically driven. When I write, I don't have any sort of writing regimen or schedule. I write when there's a certain essence of an emotion or a feeling or a situation that needs its own little, or that it has its own element on the periodic table as far as some certain combination of jealousy and sadness or grief and fear or, you know, some concoction where it feels like it needs its own song. And so that's usually what actually drives what kind of song comes out of me. And then that lyrical content really then informs what genre it ends up being, because some of my happier songs end up being sort of this pop, doo-wop, reggae sound, because that's the genre that matches that particular emotion. There is an album that I did, I think it was maybe in 2008, maybe 2009, called Afternoon. And that album had more of a drive of trying to focus my genre hopping tendencies. And I really wanted to create something that somebody could kind of listen to and be in the same mood the whole time, something that could accompany an entire afternoon, and that also gave this afternoon vibe, kind of sunset, kind of lemonade sipping, front porch swinging feel. And so in that project, that was a challenge, a self-challenge for myself to kind of say, okay, what kind of music, what kind of topics, what kind of lyrical content really brings me to that feeling and keeps me in that feeling. And so a lot of those songs are being in love and being relaxed. And I spent some time listening to intervals of songs, that the intervals of the melodies that I like that bring me to that spot. And was like, oh, good. I realized that I really found a lot of songs where the melody would land on the six of the scale. Oh, the shark has pearly teeth, dear. I keep your picture close to my heart, dear. The most successful song on that record is Now That You're Here. Now that you're here, da 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 dee dee dee. And so inside of the chord, landing on the six of it, gives this sort of throwback, relaxed vibe. And so some of that music, because I had given myself that challenge to provide and keep people and keep myself in that feeling, there was some backwards working from musical things. Major seventh chords, if you're a musician, you know what that sound sounds like. And maybe you can throw it. When you play some major seventh, just play it this kind of feel. This is a major seventh chord. And that provides a certain kind of lush, relaxy feel. There's a song on that album called Just Us where the song, the melody is actually the major seventh of a bunch of chords, and I just dotted those together so it could be a very major seventh heavy tune, which provides a certain sense of relaxing in expensive clothes, you know, that kind of feel.
Now, you mentioned that you were going to do a tune from that album and that was actually about the Twin Cities. Can you tell me about that?
Oh, sure. There's a back in the 1900s, I suppose it was maybe the 95-ish or so, I did a show in New York City. I was in my early 20s and I wanted to sing a song about Minneapolis, Minnesota, something. When I went to do a show in New York City, it was my first solo show that I had ever done. And I realized we didn't have anything. And so many towns have songs, Chicago and New York and New Orleans. And so I wrote this little song, sort of, again, trying to make it sound like it was from a long time ago. So it could easily land among some of the classics. Would you like us to do that?
I would love it.
There is an intro verse that I don't think you actually know to this song that's hidden on my very first album I ever did. So if you can find it and you can find that verse, congratulations. But we're going to keep it hidden today. Two, three. I miss Minneapolis and I miss St. Paul. You can look all you want from L.A. to Vermont, and you won't find towns like these at all. Where else can you see the stars in the perfect midnight air? Hear the call of a loon, see the cherry and spoon, with all of your dollars to spare. Every evergreen. There's nowhere, I know where, even strangers will treat you as family. It's this that I truly miss when I think of it all, and for home I will yearn till the day I return to Minneapolis and St. Paul. Let's go to that second bridge. The lights there and the sights there have a modest sort of hue, but nights there shine so bright there when you're holding a hand on grass. Of it all, and for home I will yearn till the day I return to Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Do you have any albums that you're planning to release anytime soon?
I would say soon is a great goal. There's been an album that was begun in 2017, and I was very excited about it. It includes Half a Man and some other great fun jazz and R&B and reggae. And then we got pregnant, had a baby. He was born in 2018, and then the pandemic happened. And so now here we are, and I'm hoping that it's going to be coming out this year. It's a new album called Mother Love, and it's very excited about it. It's genre hopper for sure, but it's all, you know, true stories from my life coming out through music, and I'm really excited for that to eventually make it out to the public.
So I assume that we can find out about that new recording from JenniferGrimm.com, and hopefully you'll be hearing it here on Jazz 88. Jennifer and Joe, thank you so much for coming to the studio today.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to vocalist Jennifer Grimm and her husband and musical partner, guitarist Joe Cruz. If you'd like to know more about some of the appearances that Jennifer Grimm makes around the area, you can find them listed at jennifergrimm.com. Here's a couple to watch out for. On Sunday, March 17th, she'll be at the Northfield Arts Guild concert series in Northfield, Minnesota. And Saturday and Sunday, April 6th and 7th, she's going to be doing her Jennifer Grimm Sings Judy Garland concert with a 12-piece band at the Capri Theater in Minneapolis. Again, you can find these details and find out how to get her music at jennifergrimm.com. I'm Peter Solomon. This is Listener Driven Jazz 88.